Welcome everybody to Productivity Book Group. I'm your host and facilitator, Ray Sidney Smith. Thank you for joining us here on the podcast for Productivity Book Group's summary review episode of Gamify, How Gamification Motivates People to Do Extraordinary Things by Brian Burke. And I have with me Dr. Frank Buck. How's it going?
It's good. Glad to be here with you, Ray.
Wonderful to have you here. And so before we get into the book, I just like to tell you a little bit about the book and the author. And so Gamify is a book that is written by Brian Burke, who is the chief of research. And I saw somewhere else online that he's currently the vice president of research, but I don't know if that's the same title or not, for enterprise architecture and technology innovation and program and portfolio management at Gartner. And his research focuses primarily on enterprise architecture, emerging technologies, and innovation management. I'm reading this directly from the Gartner website. It says he is the author of the 2014 book Gamify, How Gamification Motivates People to Do Extraordinary Things. In 2000, he launched the Enterprise Architecture Summit in London and has chaired that conference for the past 17 years, end quote. And so Gamify itself, the book, reading from the description on Amazon, it says organizations are facing an engagement crisis. Regardless if they are customers, employees, patients, students, citizens, stakeholders, organizations struggle to meaningfully engage their key constituent groups who have a precious and limited resource, their time. And then he talks about gamification having emerged from the area of digital and the unfortunate failure of gamification because of its misuse. And then basically says, Gamify, the book, shows gamification in action as a powerful approach to engaging and motivating people to achieving their goals while at the same time achieving organizational objectives. It can be used to motivate people to change behaviors, develop skills, and drive innovations. And those are the three things that he really hones in on in the book in terms of what gamification's goals should be. And it says the sweet spot for gamification objectives is a space where business objectives and player objectives are aligned. Like two sides of the same coin, player and business goals may outwardly appear different, but they are often the same thing, expressed different ways. The key to gamification success is to engage people on an emotional level, motivating them to achieve their goals. So, Frank, let's start off with just kind of initial impressions of the book. What were your initial impressions of the book? And I think as a disclaimer for both of us, we both actually have only listened to the audiobook version. I've actually not read this book on paper either. And so we both have listened to the audiobook. So a lot of this may be a little bit more blended together for us than, say, if I feel like when I read a book, I have a much better understanding of its structure. But for me, I've listened to the book twice now through, and one not so recently ago. So,
well, of course, you know, my background is education. I was a principal, central office administrator for many, many years. And, you know, gamification is something that is very big in the education arena right now. So a lot of it I was relating back to, you know, my own experiences there. You know, matches up fairly well that we as people, we like to have goals. We like to have those targets. We like to know how we match up against those targets, how we, you know, that we know when we have reached our goal. We like rewards, and, you know, those sorts of things, those extrinsic motivators work. I know there is that element. Of course, it says that intrinsic motivation is better than extrinsic motivation, but having the carrot, it is a big thing. So I think his point is certainly well taken. You know, the overall point of gamification, and the more that we have technology in our lives that helps us measure if we're reaching our goals, I think we're going to see more and more along this area.
Yeah, so before we started recording, you know, we were both commiserating on our initial kind of impressions of the book. And before we get into what gamification even is or its structure, I really felt like the book was a primer, right? It was definitely very sparse in terms of what the real functions are for an individual to be able to take the reins for gamifying their life. So this is definitely a book about and for engaging people in and on the organizational level. And so that's where Brian Burke is speaking from. And I really do feel, though, that the broad principles he talks about really can be used as broad principles for gamification in one's own personal productivity. So, but you have to read it through that lens. You can't presume that this book is designed for personal productivity and you can just read it outright as that, because that's not what it is, right? It's really a primer on how organizations can make their employees more productive by using gamification principles and techniques. I was reading the Goodreads.com criticisms of the book, and I kept thinking to myself, well, you're reading it through the wrong lens. You know, you saw gamify as the cover title and you thought that it was about gamifying your personal productivity life, and it really isn't. And I think part of the struggle there is that it actually surfaces in all the algorithms as a personal productivity book because of all of the discussion today about gamification. But it is about gamifying. It's, you know, as the subtitle says, it says how gamification motivates people to do extraordinary things. It's because he's talking about that on the organizational level, especially coming from Gartner, you know, a major firm like that. So let's talk a little bit about gamification, what it is, why it is, and all that fun stuff. Frank, do you want to take a stab at the kind of definition that Brian Burke uses here to talk about gamification?
Well, you know, he talks about gamification as being an approach to engage people, to motivate people to achieve goals within the organization, and move those organizational goals forward. It's used to change behavior, to improve skills, to drive innovation.
Absolutely, you're spot on. And gamification in the more generalized context outside of Brian Burke's scope here, which is, again, like I said, organizations. But if we really branch this out, we can talk about gamification is really applying these game design elements, right? We're not talking about game theory, by the way, and I think people confuse this with game theory. But gamification itself is using these game design elements and game principles in non-game contexts, which means that gamification is not necessarily fun. Right? So you don't have what's called the illusory attitude. That is doing something for the sake of it. It's not doing something for the sake of it. It's really the fact that you're engaged in something that doesn't necessarily have an intended outcome that you need, for example, right? So a game has this sense that you're doing something for no particular reason. Wikipedia says, the illusory attitude is the psychological attitude required of a player entering into the play of a game. To adopt a illusory attitude is to accept the arbitrary rules of a game in order to facilitate the resulting experience of play. So in essence, it's really the fact that there are arbitrary rules in a game, right? And that's a part of play. That's not the case in gamification in the context of personal productivity, because the rules of the game may not be arbitrary. Some may be, but not all of them will be. And so there's definitely a blur between what is fun and what is play and that which is work. And gamification really is about applying those same skills and tools to non-game, non-play contexts. So I think it's really powerful once you kind of get that concept that you're going to have to do some stuff that's potentially mundane, potentially not fun, but that doesn't mean that it's not gamification if you're doing it correctly. So that's gamification in essence. And so in chapter one, Brian Burke attempts to kind of give us some shots across the bow in a way. What he's trying to really help us understand is the fact that gamification has gotten quite a bit of publicity in a very short period of time, right? It became, it was coined in 2002, but it really didn't become of great interest to everyone until probably 2010 to 2013, when you had quite a number of experts, people in the public sphere, both in technology and design and business, who then brought this concept to the fore. And in Burke's perspective, they screwed it up. And so what in essence, everybody kind of rallied around this concept and everybody wanted to gamify. And so many of the leaders and organizations basically created reward programs and said that that was gamification. And in reality, that's not the case. And so it was quite a little bit of, I felt that he was not being too harsh, but he's British. And so there's a little bit of British stiff upper lipness to the writing there, but it sounds a bit harsh if you don't know that about him. And so he just basically, you know, states that there's clearly been a misuse of the term. He wants the term to change. He doesn't want to use gamification, but he knows that it's not going to happen because that's just the way language is. You know, we've adopted the term, and so we're kind of stuck with it, and so therefore that's what it is. And then his second shot across the bow is this idea that there is a limit to what gamification can do to make productivity fun or to make you productive in certain categories of life. I mean, there are just boundaries to which gamification can work. And I think that a lot of organizations, as well as people who want to gamify their life, say, oh yeah, well, I want to be able to do this gamification thing in this particular area of my life. And why isn't it working? You know, and I use the example, I run a Getting Things Done or GTD Habitica party, which is a group inside of the game, the habit development game, Habitica. The number one problem is that you can game the game. You can go into Habitica, join our party. So you don't even have to join our party. You could join the game. You can set up a whole bunch of habits that you want to develop, and you can just keep checking the boxes every day that you're doing them, and you'll gain your points and you'll level up and you'll be able to hatch your eggs and have your pets and then, you know, upgrade your mounts, all this fun stuff, right? But in reality, Habitica is about doing the real life things that are going to further your goals. So if you're not doing those things and you're just checking off the boxes, you're not truly improving. And to be quite honest, you're going to notice that. So you're either going to stop playing the game, or you're going to tell us that the game is somehow flawed, but fundamentally that's not it. There's an upper bounds to the fact that you're not accountable to anyone but yourself in that environment unless you create external accountability, right? So you have to have that intrinsic motivation, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But the reality is that unless you genuinely want to stop screwing yourself by just checking those boxes off and not actually doing the things in your real world, then that's on you. That's not on gamification. Gamification has done its job. It's given you all of the faculties to be able to have a really great experience in Habitica. But it can't make you do something. It can pave a pathway. It can flatten the road through a forest. But it can't make you walk. So Frank, I want to get into this discussion of engagement and motivation, because Brian Burke talks about this in the book in a way that I think is very engaging and interesting. And you kind of touched on this in defining gamification. It's this idea of transactional and emotional engagement and intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. What did you garner from his discussion of those topics?
Well, again, you know, going back to when we talk about engagement, that is such a hot topic in schools these days, of engaging students, that that students coming to class, sitting in class, doing the work, going through the motions, that's not what we're after. That people have to be actively involved in the process to really learn and get better. And of course, what you were talking about as far as gaming the system, checking off the boxes, sort of reminds me of, you know, the student who borrows someone else's homework, and he turns in the homework, he often gets the points, and cheats nobody but himself, but nobody finds out for a while, and he doesn't really face the consequences for a while until he, gets to a certain point in academia where he's got to stand on his own 2 feet and can't, or gets out in the real world and can't. So, again, really goes back to what is so hot in schools these days.
Burke talks about this idea that there is intrinsic and extrinsic motivation, that is, intrinsic being things that are motivated from the inside, and those things that are extrinsic, those things that are the carrots of the world, right? If you do X, then you will get Y. While there is something fundamentally powerful about the idea of I will give you a piece of candy if you do this thing for me, there's a boundary, there's an upper boundary to how much extrinsic motivation will make people do things. And to some greater extent, he then cites some discussion and research about that actually backfiring, that sometimes giving more money or other kinds of monetary rewards can actually demotivate employees, and therefore it can demotivate you. And I actually believe that of the inverse. I do believe in this idea that the stick is also as an extrinsic, motivator. We either through negative reinforcement or through outright punishment. Those things can be very counterproductive to people. And we have several programs in the world now, like online portals, where you can say, here goes some money, and if I don't do this thing, then I want you to send this money or give this money to, say, a political organization I disagree with, or some kind of other charity that I don't believe in or cause I don't believe in. So, it's a very high bar in essence. You're kind of making a statement that you're gonna do something that's very distasteful to you. But in reality, even if you do that thing, right? You say, I'm gonna go running every day for the next week, and then you go ahead and do that, and then yay, you didn't give money to this horrible organization or what you feel is a horrible organization or group. What you've done, though, is, and this is conjecture on my part, I'm not a psychologist, but my conjecture on this, my feeling is that you are setting up, you're psychologically priming yourself for this idea that you are working from a fear-based perspective, right? And if you start to fear things as your only mechanism for wanting to grow personally and professionally, that's not true development. You're going to actually start limiting the things that you do, because you only want to do the things that you're absolutely going to do. And we know that learning and growth happens through discomfort and failure.
And going back to that that running analogy, if I don't go out and run today, then I have to give $15 to this awful, awful organization that I oppose. So I go out and I run so that I don't have to make that contribution. Well, then what happens once that particular aspect goes away? Well, then I'm just not going to run, period. And of course, what we want to do is that you run because you enjoy running, you enjoy the experience, you enjoy being with your own thoughts, or the morning air, or whatever it might be, that you just enjoy it for the sake of it, rather than the reward that's going to come your way if you run today, or the punishment that's going to come your way if you don't.
And so, again, we circle back to this idea that gamification should cover the goals of gamification, should focus on one or more of the three things that that Frank used in his definition of gamification: changing behaviors, developing skills, and driving innovation. And all of those things mean that the player has to have meaningful goals. That is, that this needs to be meaningful to the player, and that the player's success is actually the meaningful goal. And by doing so, Gartner posits that the organization's goals are actually a byproduct of the player's goals being achieved. So it's only by focusing on the player goals for success that an organization can get players to play, and therefore the gamification that happens is, for the organization's goals, an outcome that is tangential to it. It's just it will happen because of the player goals being successful. I relate this to personal productivity from the perspective that happiness is not the goal of anything in your productive life. It shouldn't be, because happiness is volatile and mercurial. You can't step on happiness twice, right? Happiness is a byproduct of you doing activities that you intrinsically and extrinsically are motivated to do. And so over the arc of time, you get a sense of happiness, right? Because happiness is many different emotions mashed together, from ecstasy and joy to contentment and a sense of serenity. All of these things on polar opposites and everything in between. Happiness as a construct is something that you need to look at over the course of time, not in necessarily one particular outcome of one particular thing. So, you know, it's like you have to focus on the individual projects and goals and outcomes that become the arc of that which helps create a stage for happiness. And I think that's what he's kind of saying here about gamification within organizations. But I also think that if you are trying to develop a personal productivity program for yourself, then you need to keep that in mind as well, which is, you know, if you're trying to develop some kind of gamified life, well, if you're trying to get to some larger outcome, right, across your entire productive life, you need to break down your goals as the player for being able to do so. And if you're trying to do that for your kids, for example, say you're trying to gamify some area of your life at home, doing that for your kids, you have to remember that the kids' player goals need to take primacy, so that you're able to then achieve the larger goal, which may be teaching the kids to be responsible about picking up their you know, laundry off the floor in their bedrooms, or helping to clean up the table after dinner. That macro goal of the organization, which is to teach them order and cleanliness and manners and so on and so forth, needs to be a kind of a background issue to the player's goals in the minutiae. The only final thing I thought about in this particular section of the book, and then we're going to kind of glaze over some of these other parts because they're really not practical for personal productivity. I wanted to make note of the fact that motivation, as Brian Burke talks about, can be fabricated. And I think this is a very powerful concept that I lifted from the book, something that in all of my reading, and I've read quite a lot about gamification and game design generally, although I'm not a game designer, I just thought it's a really interesting concept. And he talks about this idea that motivation can be fabricated, and I really hadn't thought about it that way, but the reality is that it can. You can create within a community a construct that then becomes the motivation. And in the digital world, where you're capable of creating badges and points and virtual assets, you know, a badge is a virtual asset. It doesn't exist. It didn't exist before it was created in the digital world, and it doesn't exist in the physical real world, yet it can have real world consequences. That is, you can feel very good about having that badge, and the recognition, public recognition, of having this thing that doesn't actually exist, right? It's ones and zeros living on the internet. Very, very fascinating concept. He uses the example of mayorships in Foursquare on the social platform for you know, checking in. And so Foursquare allows you to be able to have, if you check in more than anyone else at a location, you become the mayor of that location. And there goes a, you know, that's a completely fabricated motivation, right? You have this title, this role that has no legal or power over anything, and you're capable of getting people to want to vie for it. You know, people will come to this location more often because of it. So think about ways in which you can manifest that in your own world. Just that pure principle of creating a title or a role for yourself by being able to do something more than others.
Very, very interesting. Yeah. But it works. And again, because of, you know, the advances in technology and that sort of data being so easy to gather, it just makes it also easy to do.
I want to just highlight two more things and then we're going to wrap up. One thing is that rewards programs, Brian talks about this concept that rewards programs are not gamified programs. And I said this earlier, but he shows a clear difference between gamification and a rewards program is that gamification engages players in furtherance of meaningful goals. And that means that they're intrinsic goals primarily. I mean, sometimes they can be extrinsic, but most often than not, they are intrinsic. And so if you can find meaningful goals, then you can use the elements of points, leaderboards, and rewards to be able to move forward with those things. But in by and large, if you can find meaningful goals, then points, badges, and leaderboards, as they talk about typically in game mechanics, can be utilized in a fun way. As some closing thoughts here, one, Superbetter, which we've talked about before here on Productivity Book Group, there's at least one episode where we cover this Superbetter by Jane McGonigal. And Dr. McGonigal talks about how to create really a full real-life game for oneself to improve almost any area of your life. And different from Gamify, which is really a rallying call, right? I use the analogy of the shot across the bow as a warning shot. That's what the book is really all about. And so I don't want people to think that this is kind of a methodological book. It's not. It's really a much more of a theoretical warning kind of book. I appreciated it on that level, but I certainly don't think that it's one of the books that you want to, you know, cozy up at night and read. But Superbetter is really the manual for doing what Brian Burke talks about for the individual, for the personal productivity. And I really recommend that book for that kind of thing. So really recommend that. There's a matching program, you know, mobile application for Superbetter. And then there, of course, as I said before, is Habitica. Habitica is the habit development application. So if you're looking to develop habits or skills, you can really use Habitica for manufacturing that game so that you're able to go ahead and develop those things. And so any final thoughts, Frank, before we close out this discussion?
Well, I enjoyed listening to the book. I thought it was a little longer than it needed to be. Fairly simple topic, I thought, especially with the background that I have and having seen so much of that in the world of education. I think kind of interesting, I Googled this particular author, found a YouTube where he was talking about gamification in, I think, a TEDx talk, and wound up with playing a game called Kahoot, which is very popular now in the world of education, that allows, you know, even hundreds of people to play a game on their phones together, a quiz sort of thing, where you're getting points not only for correct answers, but being the first one, you know, to get the correct answer or among the first one. And you see exactly how you stand, you know, a little leaderboard, so you know exactly how you are standing amongst those other several hundred people that are there. So I thought, well, you know, there's something that it probably most every student in the United States is enjoying in their school that was, being used here in this conference and seemed new to all of those people.
Fantastic. And I'll place a link to Kahoot in the show notes so people can find it, because it is spelled oddly. and so wonderful. Thank you, Ed. And I would agree with you, Frank. I wouldn't not read this book if you're truly inclined toward gamification and its broad principles and wanting to know kind of how it works. Because he has this, you know, structure for the player journey. He walks people through a typical player journey and the different components that kind of lay on either side of that. You know, we just touched on the very surface of intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation, but there's also collaboration and other kinds of functions that you can kind of guesstimate where and how powerful this particular, you know, game design element is going to be for and as you develop a game, and just some really good stuff in there. But it's definitely much more organization focused, and you need to translate it for personal productivity. It's not a personal productivity book in that sense. So this closes out the conversation for the summary review of Gamify: How Gamification Motivates People to Do Extraordinary Things by Brian Burke. Thank you, Frank, for this discussion and your insights.
It was a pleasure to be here.
Great. I have a few announcements before we end the call. First and foremost, I welcome you to join us in the conversation about Gamify by visiting productivitybookgroup.org and scrolling down to the bottom and commenting on this episode with your thoughts and experiences on this book's topic. As well, please visit productivitybookgroup.org and find out the details and the schedule for our upcoming quarterly book discussion calls. If you plan to read with us, feel free to visit the website and check out the schedule on the upcoming books page. And if you are listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcast directory or app you use to access Productivity Book Group, go ahead and make sure that you review us. It helps expand our readership and brings new readers and callers to the fold. If you don't already subscribe, please head on over there and subscribe. And thank you. Finally, all podcast episodes are archived at productivitybookgroup.org under episodes. So if you missed a live discussion call, an author interview, or summary review episode that we mentioned, you want to go ahead and listen to it or listen to it again, feel free to head over there. Thank you, Dr. Frank Buck, for joining us as always. And thank you on my behalf, Ray Sidney Smith, for this summary review episode of Productivity Book Group. We hope you join us again next time. Here's to your productive life.